Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
What do you say we go before the throne room of grace? And we ask God to give us ears to hear. Amen? So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in the wonderful name of Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise God, praise God. And so, if you have your cell phones, fax machines, and scanners, please put them on the silent or off position. And here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, "We Cannot Forget the Goodness of God." Didn't we just sing the goodness of God? She didn't know I was going to have this message. Praise God. But we cannot forget the goodness of God. You see, we live in a time right now that for some folks, it's kind of frightening. When you have 11 warships, China and Russia, off the coast of Alaska about 2 weeks ago doing war games, what's that all about? We see inflation. You go to Costco, you want to buy three steaks and it's $90 now. Gas has never been as high as it ever been. And we're seeing with our very own eyes in real time, there are now 390 mass shootings where in the 1940s and the 1950s, 60s and 70s, they were unheard of. And if there was a mass shooting, it was giant news and people would just be plugged to their televisions and people would cry. They wouldn't mourn. And now there's 390, which is far passes 365 days in one calendar year. So we're seeing chaotic things that Jesus said we would see in the last days. The prophets foretold that in the last days, perilous times would come. But we see all that. But I'm here to remind us of the goodness of God. That in the midst of darkness, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of situations that sometimes perplex, sometimes it causes us to doubt God. It causes some people to go into depression, oppression. I'm here to let you know that with God, all things are possible. That He's the God of all comfort, the God of all grace. And we have to remember one thing. Remember what He has done for you. Jesus. Never forget what He has done for you. Because He drew us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He didn't leave us out there entrenched in the culture of the day. Many of us have testimonies that are, wow, did you really go through that? Yes, they did. Yes, I did. And yet God still drew us. He knew what He was getting when He saved us, when He saved you. He knew already. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, He already knew you. And so I'm hoping that in this message this morning, we could glean, be reminded, reconfirmed in our spirit that God is good. Say that with me. God is good. He is so good. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 11. And let's read verses 1 through 7. And then we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to have its way. Amen? And it reads, "In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" Meaning, we are not to run away from what's taking place in our lives. We're to never run away when trials come, when tribulation comes. "For look, The wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. And many people around the world are persecuted for the cause of Christ. People in Iran are being beheaded for the preaching of the gospel. In China, they're imprisoned. We still have our liberties here, praise God. But those could change as well. Can I get amen? Look at this, verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So God is asking us a question. If all these things that we know that's holy and true and right is being taken away, being destroyed, what can the righteous do? We are righteous by Christ. Within our own self, we are unrighteous. But it was Christ who imputed upon us his righteousness from the cross. When he went to the cross and his blood was shed for you and I, he then, by faith, drew us and then imputed righteousness upon us. Now we stand before God, righteous before him. How does that work? Only God could do something like this. Only God could take sinful human beings and present them to his Father as righteous. And it's through the blood. Look at verse 4. When it goes there, yeah, here we go. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. We're all tested all the time. Can I get an amen? The Lord tests the righteous. What? I shared something earlier today. We're being tested. Can I get an amen? But God has seen us through these trials before. So has God changed? Word of God says, I change not. We change every day. Our emotions are like roller coasters. I love you this morning, but then I'll hate you tonight. But God's position doesn't change. Never does. Look at this. But the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. So all the what's happening in the world, they're not going to get away with it. You can take it to the bank. Look at this. Upon the wicked, he will rain coals, fire, and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. Wow. This is God now judging. For the Lord is righteous. Say that with me. For the Lord is righteous, and he loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. And so, God's word is a stabilizer in our lives. How many believe that? Amen. Saints, within the pages of the Bible, we find comfort, we find strength, we find guidance in every situation of life. How many believe that he has shown us that thus far? But if we choose to live without the Bible, without God's word, we won't have the assurance of God's promises to help us through hard times. And I know people that are going through some hard times right now. I have a family member that was just diagnosed with cancer. If that ain't a hard time, I don't know what that is. But God has the answer. God is the comfort. God is the healer. Can I get amen? And with God, all things are possible. I thank and praise God for, how many love divine appointments? How many love divine appointments? Well, my brother-in-law Brett that's here and my sister Trinidad, they live in Oklahoma. They came to visit. They didn't know that they were going to be confronted with a divine appointment. And so our niece, Monica, who got diagnosed, they came to minister to her and baptized her in Jesus' name. Can I get amen? That's a divine appointment. You see, God already went before us. Can I get amen? Amen. That's right. Wow. We serve a mighty God. And so these are some of the most difficult days we have faced in our country. The things that I have said earlier, right? We've lost our oneness, stability, strength, and care for another, especially if people are mowing down everyone every day. There's no more caring. It's, I don't like you, you did this to me, and boom, you're gone. Wow. What happened to the moral, the morality of people's hearts? And so our nation is suffering from uncertainty, uneasiness, conflict, and distrust. It's happening right before us. If we ever needed to rely on the Word of God, is today. Can I get amen? Such times should lead us to cry out to God. Is the church fasting and praying anymore? Are we crying out to God? Or are we just letting these things just go right by in real time? They're going right by us. And yet the church is silent. We need to get back to our first love. Can I get amen? We need to get back to God. We need to say, oh God, mercy. Mercy, oh God. How many of you can honestly say you have family members, whether they're close or far off, friends and acquaintances that need Jesus? They need to be saved, huh? Every one of us in here. And so God is calling the church to be that bright light before them. Listen, it's not about beating them on the head with the Bible and trying to convict them yourself. No, it's about getting them excited about who Jesus is. If you get them excited who Jesus is, what he's done for you, what he can do for them, then they're going to look at it in a different light. They're not going to look at it like, oh, God is mad at me. I'm not going there. If he was mad at us, he would have got rid of the human race and created something different. No, but that's not the case. He sent his only begotten son for us. And so he made provision for us. Now, look at this. King David was familiar with difficult situations. How many believe that? Even as a kid, the Bible says he was a little ruddy kid. You know what ruddy means? I kind of looked it up. You know, a little snot-nosed kid. But guess what? But guess what? God trained him. God trained him in the field. He knew how to defend his flock of sheep. This is why when the prophet came and said, I've come to select the new king of Israel, he went through all the brothers. Some of them were mighty men in the army. They were like chiseled out. And one by one, he said, no, you're not the one. You're not the one. Do you have any more? Yeah, there's a little ruddy kid out in the field. So the prophet said, let's go over there. And his stones lit up. He said, this is the one. This is the one. And guess why? It wasn't because he defeated the lion and the bear. It wasn't because, I'll tell you why he chose David. Because David had a heart after God. And that's what God is looking for in the time we live in, is your heart after God? Or has it grown cold? We need to continue to be on fire for him. Can I get an amen? We need to continue to fast and pray, testify, teach, preach, raise up, lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. We need to exercise all the gifts that God has given us because he has equipped the church. I hope you know that. He equips the saints of God. And when David faced Goliath, his confidence was not in himself, but it was in the Lord. Can I get an amen? And when King Saul saw God using this little ruddy kid, jealousy rose up. Unfortunately, this is what shows me. If you've been called and you're anointed by God, and God is using you fully, there's going to be some jealous folks around you. They're going to want to see you crash and burn. King Saul, who the people wanted. You got to remember, God didn't choose him. The people chose him. And he did everything contrary to what God had asked him to do. So God had to raise up someone he knew that would have God's back, his heart. And that was little David. And so it brings us back to this psalm that King David wrote. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Paul the apostle understood these things as well, because he was one that was very persecuted. How many have read the epistles of Paul? The majority of his epistles were written in prison. He was chained to someone else. And listen, this was not Donovan's prison like today. They didn't have the amenities in the state penitentiary like today. Today they have hot and cold running water. They have toilets and showers. They have big screen TVs. They had the little A in the window, seeing that it was in compliance with the code of the health code of the day. But not in Paul's day. It was rat infested. Some of them couldn't even get up to go use the restroom. So you know what that mess was like. The stench in there. The roaches and the rats in there. And yet, he was filled with joy. You filled with joy when things have been taken away from you. Huh? I'm asking that question because I'm asking myself. Oh, I love my comfortable life, but when it's taken away, can you still have joy? Well, look what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So God has named us. Can I get amen? "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." God is more interested in your inner man than your outer man. Can I get an amen? This outer man is perishing. For some of us that are now past our 60s, we go to the mirror. That ain't me. That I remember what I looked like when I was 20. But that's me now. And we all know that this life, it has a time clock to it. Can I get amen? He's interested in the man inside, the Holy Spirit being born of God. That's eternally bound to heaven. Can I get amen? That's his concern. It's the inner man. That's what Paul wrote to the Ephesian church. Look at this. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which what? Passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." My question is, are you filled with the fullness of God? Is your life walking around filled with the presence of God? When you walk into a room, do they see the anointing on you? Do they feel the presence of God when you walk into their room? Are you lit up before the darkness? This is why he came. Jesus came to fill our inner being, that we would be full of God and less of us. And saints, when everything is crumbling beneath us, we must remember God's word is our true and only foundation. No matter what we face, and how many of you are facing a lot of trials right now? Scripture assures us that we are the children of the Most High God. Do you believe that? I do. And he promises to see us all through it. Can I get an amen? All the way to the very end until he calls us home. This doesn't mean we won't experience suffering, because we do. Or disappointment, because we have. But the Lord walks with us every step of the way. How many believe he walks with you? Oh, come on. He's the one that wakes us up in the morning. Can I get amen? You just didn't wake up. Time to wake up, child. Time to praise me and worship me and serve me again. Praise God. And we got to get up to do it with joy. You see, his word is our compass. His word is a guidebook for every hardship. If you want to know the hardship you're in, look at all the saints that have gone through something and see how God has delivered them. And he will deliver you no differently. Can I get amen? Amen. How many can believe that God is able to deliver us through any situation of life? What I shared with you today, he's going to deliver us. Can I get amen? Amen. God is going to have his perfect way and his perfect will for our lives. Praise God. As long as we follow the instructions. Yet, nowadays, everything is kind of digitally complicated. The simple little DVD player you bring home, it used to be just one cord and you plugged it in and everything. Now it's like you got to, if you don't read the instructions, it won't work. It's very complicated, right? You got to read the instructions. Well, guess what? This is our instruction manual. What is the acronym for Bible? Basic, the Bible means basic instructions before leaving earth. Instructions before leaving earth. And so God has left his manual behind for us to glean, to apply, to receive, to operate, to believe. It's always he that believeth, he that believeth, he that believeth. Even a simple football game that we love to watch. There's a football player that's well known. I think all of you know who Deion Sanders is. He went to Jackson State and raised up back-to-back champions. So then he went to the big boys. He went to Colorado, and everyone said, you know what he kept saying? We believe God is with us. He said, we believe God is with us. And everyone that we're bringing on this team love God. And the media try to shut them down. And so they played a team yesterday that was ranked in the top 20. And Colorado, Deion Sanders' team won. And he was giving God all the glory. As soon as the mic came up, he says, I thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, I shared it like this. You see street corner preachers, and they're condemning people. You're going to repent or go to hell. Okay, we get that. We get on that. But guess what? Have you tried another approach to your friends and family? Have you told them, guess what? Guess what? I'm always reminded every day. You tell them like this, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven. And God lives in me. And guess what? He wants that for you too. Don't you want your sins forgiven? Listen, if you come with a different approach, you're going to whet their appetite. It's easy to come. Oh man, repent. Look what you're to point the finger and do that. But can you edify them? Can you build them up? Can you at least tell them the love of God, what he's done for you, what he can do for them? And so, if the foundations are destroyed, what have we got left? In the same way, saints of God, a nation whose foundation is weak cannot endure. This is why we need, how many believe we need to pray for our nation? A strong national foundation consists of law and order, justice, truth, morality, decency, integrity, fairness, trustworthiness. And when these are abandoned, it begins to crumble and the nation is in danger of collapsing. I don't want this nation to collapse. I don't know you, but I'm thankful that God chose us to be born in this nation. I shared last week, aren't you so blessed that it was in the providence of God? And God's already proclamation, he chose you and I to be born in this country. We could have been born in India, China. Us to be here, and we still have our liberties. Can I get an amen? We still have our liberties here. This is why you need to embrace, man, and say, God, thank you for this nation. And we need to pray for it now. Because we see it slipping away. Because the word of God is clear. Look at this. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. Wow. Wow. Then King David wrote this. And you know, majority of what he wrote were songs. But look at this psalm right here. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. What? For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, and do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. How many believe that we need to turn back to God? The nation does. We taught a few months ago, it started in 1962. When they removed prayer and the Bible out of the schools, it was the enemy's ploy and plot to get God out of the culture so that these wicked demons would come and start ruling the nation. And we see that clearly. We see that clearly. But God has the fix. How many believe that God has the fix? So now, how should we respond if the foundations are destroyed? That's a good question, isn't it? How do we respond? Do we get mad? Do we get angered? Do we go and curse someone? No. No. We do this. We turn to God. Can I get amen? We turn to God. David, he chose to say it best. He said this, in the Lord I take refuge. We run to our cover. We run to our comfort. We run to the God who created us. So if he knows how to create us, he knows how to fix us. This means, saints of God, we put our confidence in God. We become attentive to his voice. He has given us unshakable, absolute truths in his word. And we place our trust, saints of God, in what he has said already. Can I get amen? Why? Because we'll all receive stability and direction for our lives. And so what God is saying, when we're faced with temptation, when we're faced with trials, when the nation is in chaos, the Bible says it's clear. Don't run, but turn to God. Listen, I'm reminded of this true story. When I was attending North Park Apostolic Church, the founder, Raymond Trout, I remember a sermon he preached that was so profound it stayed in me, it hasn't left me. He said that when he was about 7 years old, when he would get out of line with his mom, she then had what's called a switch. You know what a switch is? It looks like it's so long and it's made out of a like a fishing pole. And that thing, when you just moved it around, it would go zoom, 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 zoom. And so when he would disobey, when he would do something that angered her, she would get the switch. And she would chase him around. And if she caught him, all she had to do was just one swat. And it would hit that leg. And he said it would sting for weeks. So, God gave him, as a child, revelation. So, he said, instead of running away, because running away, and when she got close, the thrust had so much pressure on it that it would leave that little welt on there for a long time. So he said, I decided to run to her and hold on to a leg and cry and cry and cry. And so she would then, because there was no more, she had no more leverage. The leverage was like this. Wow. She had no more leverage. So as he's holding on to her leg crying, she dropped it. She picked him up and started ministering to him. And then she was explaining to him, this is why I don't want you to do this and that. And so as a child, God gave him a revelation. Don't run away. Run to the problem. Run to the situation and cry out. And so we are to do the same. We're to run to God and cry out. Can I get an amen? Because God has the answers to every situation of life. I hope you know that. Yes, he does. Look at this. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Why should we run away and fly away? Listen, as soon as a storm comes, like the quote-unquote hurricane we had a couple weeks ago, all the birds flee. They flee to a high place. They flee for shelter. I get that. We get that. It's built in them to flee. But when trials come to us, we should not flee like a bird. We should run to God. Can I get an amen? Instead of trying to run away from our difficulties, we should run to the Lord, God Almighty. Why? Because he's all powerful and knows all the struggles that you and I are facing right now. There is no stronger or safer refuge than the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen in the house? Amen. Praise God. Saints of God, he loves us and he intends for us to stand strong and in the power of his might. Praise God. Why? Because he's a firm foundation. He's firm. He's true in the midst of hardship, suffering, and loss, knowing that he is what? Trustworthy. And so, saints of God, if the foundations of our physical world may crumble, which we do see them eroding, and we could lose every possession we own. We could. If we get invaded by invading armies, they would take away everything we have here. If Russia, China, North Korea, South America, Cuba, if they all pounce on us in one day, I think we're in trouble, aren't we? This is why we need to pray for our nation. Let me just say this. If the nation turns back to God, God will supernaturally watch over us again. Yes. Oh, yes, he will. Because that's his nature, is to bless his children. How many believe that you are a child of God then, that you are blessed by God? Okay. Yes, come on. I know that. Well, Paul wrote to the Philippian church, and I love what he wrote in this scripture that I found. Look at this. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Say that with me. I press on that I may lay hold of what that which is Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. He wrote on and said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What is ahead of us? Let me ask this, what's ahead of us right now? What is the most radical thing that's going to take place in the near future? Huh? It's good. Jesus is coming for his church. Can I get amen? And the Bible says we will be changed and we will be like him. How many of you can't wait to get out of these old clothes? I'm always asking God, I know that new body has some hair on it. Huh, Lord? Don't forget about me, God. And so, what are we pressing toward? Right here. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, he's talking about the mature saints, have this in mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to what? To you. Praise God. And guess what God has revealed to us? Number one, he loves us. Number two, he has a great plan for us. Number three, he will supply all of our riches according to all of our needs according to his riches and glory. He will comfort us in the times of trouble. He will be our place of refuge. Come on, the list goes on. There's more things that God will do for us than what man can do for us. Can I get amen? Praise God. And so, how does God respond when we turn to him? How does he respond? We say, okay, I've had a Burger King life most of my life, having it my way, but now, God, I turn to you. I turn to you now, God. I give up. You know what? I give up. I give up my agenda, and now I want to turn to you. Oh, the Lord places under his divine protection. How many would rather be under his protection? Huh? You see, we are in a right relationship with him when we learn how to obey him. When we learn how to submit to him. You see, my friends, he determines, this is what I love about God, he determines the limits of our trials and suffering. He lets us go so far until he says, okay, I'm going to deliver them now. You know why he allows us to go through trials? So we can learn something. So we could glean off it. So that we don't make sometimes mistakes over and over and over again. How many of you have done the roller coaster thing in life? Oh, I heard someone back there. Too many times. Praise God. Listen, it doesn't mean he's going to remove all the pain and the trouble from our lives. But he guards us through it. Can I get an amen? He guards us through it. And even if we lose our lives, even the worst case scenario, the moment we close our eyes on this planet, we will open them in the presence of God. And that's not let's make a deal, this is the deal. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. And so, we need to be confident. We need God's word to comfort us. Well, God gave Paul the apostle comfort in this verse of scripture. Look at this. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. But look at this. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Meaning, when this flesh gives up, we're going to be with him. How many can't wait for that moment? Listen, I don't care what wealth you accumulated here. Give it to everyone. But if God's calling you home, man, I'm telling you, he has built things without human hands. You don't have to worry about a termite inspection. You don't have to worry about a plasterer coming and plastering holes in the wall. You don't have to call someone to change the roof. No, these things will be eternal that he has created for you and I. Can I get an amen? I know that it's hard to envision these things because all we see is what we have here on earth. But if you believe that Jesus is your Savior, like we all do, we've been born again, filled with his Spirit, that's the evidence that God has a better place for us. Can I get amen? You got to believe that. Amen. And so, how many believe that God's always available? Isn't he always available? Why? Because King David understood the Lord is in his holy temple, and the Lord, look at that, the Lord's throne is in heaven, and he sees all. Nothing is beyond his control, saints of God. And he is ready to hear our concerns, our requests, our petitions, our prayers. How many believe that our prayers are not in vain? How many believe that he hears us? Oh, come on, yes, he does. He hears every concern. Why? Because he is concerned for us. That's why Paul the apostle wrote to the Corinthians not to ever lose heart. We can never lose heart. Can I get amen? No matter how thick the trial is, don't lose heart. We're not to lose heart. Can I get amen? Because look what Paul wrote. He wrote it best. Therefore, we do not what? Lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Remember, whatever you're going through is but for a moment. Is working for us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What is happening with you right now? He's preparing you for the life after. Some of us are closer to the end of this human life. But don't be afraid. Because God is with us. Can I get amen? And he's preparing us for this. Oh, yes. Look at this. While we do not look at the things which are seen, and we see a whole lot, but at the things which are not seen. Paul said the things that we cannot see in our natural eye is more vast than the things that we do see. Look at this. But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You need to wrap around your faith to that. You need to get a hold of this scripture here. Because what he has prepared for us, what he has prepared for you, far exceeds whatever pleasures you get out of this earth. Whatever you have experienced, the joy of this earth, your friendship, your family, your friends, your acquaintance, your job, your children, your grandchildren, everything that you have experienced thus far is temporary. It's temporal. How many of you have been to Celebration of Life services this year? I've done a few of them this year already. And so they're absent now from the body. And we don't know when this body of ours is going to expire. But God is preparing us for that eternal glory. Can I get an amen? He's preparing us for a greater life that's coming. And this is why we need teachers and pastors. We need evangelists. We need people to proclaim this, to edify us, to let us know that God still has the best for last. The best things are still coming. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. And one of the things, how many believe that God is omnipresent? God sees all. He sees everything. He sees everything. Look at this. Look what King David wrote. The Lord is in his temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one loves violence and his soul hates. He sees it all. He gets it. We should understand that. And from his divine perspective, sense of God, he sees and knows everything. And he uses our trials to test you and I. How many can honestly believe that you've been tested by God? Okay, I just saw one hand up and that was mine. Thank you, God, for testing me. Reason of fear. How many believe we have no reason of fear? Why? Because we are secure in Christ. Our relationship is solid with him. We all know he hates violence, and he promises that one day he will punish the wicked. But guess what? It's something that we're not going to gloat over, and he's not going to allow us to see that. He's going to remove the church. We're going to be with him in glory, and then he's going to pour out the wrath. And I'm glad we don't have to see that movie. We don't need to see that movie. He's going to do what he's going to do. We're going to be with him for 7 years at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to see the coronation of the king. We're going to be with him during the whole 7-year tribulation period in him in glory up in heaven while the wrath is being poured out. Here's what I love about God. I truly believe he's not going to give us any kind of memory for those who were left behind. You know why? Because we would mourn up there. And mourning and grieving is a type of sin. And there's not no sin in heaven. It's all glory. It's all light. It's all brilliant. Aren't you so blessed? Because what you be, oh, but what about my uncle? What about my granddaughter? We're not going to be up there mourning. We're going to be up there rejoicing in our new body. Can I get amen? Or do you want to hang on to this one and trust in your HMO and PPO? My goodness. And so from his divine perspective, saints of God, he sees everything that's going on. So I have this question. What attitude should God's people have? Huh? This is the attitude that we need to have. We must, what? Trust the Lord. Trust God. Even in the worst times, trust God. In the best times, trust God. Oh, that's right. In every situation of life, trust God. Trust God for your provision. Trust God for your health. Trust God for your needs. Trust God that He will save those who are not saved yet, that surround your family, your sphere of influence. Like I mentioned earlier, He's not done with us. He's going to use us. He's going to save them. How many believe He's going to save them? You got to believe He's going to save them like He saved us. Did you know someone prayed for you? I know someone was praying for me. I got saved at 30. But prior to that, there's some things I did. You've heard many of my testimony, but there's still things that I still remember not say over this pulpit. But He didn't take that memory away because He wants me to always remember His goodness, His grace, what He has done for me, what He has done for you. Some things don't need to be. But know this, He spared us from the wrath to come. We're not appointed unto wrath. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so instead of running, we need to learn how to trust Him. How many love King David? He had some of the best songs. Listen, I don't know if you guys are still following who's the top 10 in the pop charts or whatever, the Christian chart, whatever. There was no one better than King David's music during this time. It should always be number one in our heart. Can I get amen? He had the best songs. That's what Psalms mean, is a song unto God. He would sing unto God that these words that God gave him, and they were written down for us today. So, when you're going through something serious, He wrote this down. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he has no more. I sought him, but he could not be found. Look at this. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is peace, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. Say that with me. Is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they what? Trust in Him. How many of you can say, I trust in the Lord? Come on. Come on, give God a shout for what He has done. What He's doing. He saved us from a time of wrath that's coming. And so know that God is with you no matter how hard it gets, no matter what is coming your way, no matter what the doctor said about you, no matter if a bad report saying you got stage 4 this and stage 5 that. I don't care if they said it was stage 10. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. And the Bible says, I am healed by the blood of the Lamb. By His stripes we are. You got to believe that God will take care of every situation of life. Praise God. Praise God. And so we must daily, we must do this. We must ask God for cleansing. Cleanse us. Why? Because this flesh. Do you know this flesh gets dirty too? One of the things I say, and I say it in a polite way, but thank God for showers. Just imagine sitting by someone and it's been 3 days. No, this flesh still is dying, isn't it? And we need to ask God though for spiritual cleansing. Cleanse us, Lord, from the things that we saw, the things that we've seen, the things that we've said, the things that we may have offended someone. Maybe we said things in a way we shouldn't have. Maybe I need to go forgive someone. Maybe, God, just maybe, there are things that I need you to spiritually cleanse me and renew the right spirit in me. Because every now and then, saints of God, if we don't, we will hinder ourselves from being heard of God. If we harbor things in our heart that we haven't released to Him, that we have come transparent with Him, guess what? He already knows that. He's looking for us to confess those things, to give them to Him. King David saw it best. Look what he wrote here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Let me just say this. In my 34 years of walking with Christ, I can honestly point back to a time before I was pastoring that I was drifting. Drift. Can I get amen? It's easy to drift from the call. It's easy to drift from His presence. It's easy to drift from the saints. And I was at that moment, this is before even Sister Yolanda came to my life. And guess what I did not feel anymore? His presence. I didn't feel His presence anymore. I fell on my face. I said, God, I don't feel your presence anymore. And then He brought before me the sins, my own personal things that I was doing. Because King David wrote it down. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And God was removing Himself from my life so that I would cry out. It's like a baby. A baby that's birthed into this world. As soon as it senses the mama is not there, guess what it's going to do? Huh? Well, I'm a child of God and I was crying because he wasn't around me no more. Yet, He was always there. If He chooses to allow you to feel His presence, He does that all by Himself. That's why it's written down in Scripture. This is the proof that He can remove His presence from you. That's why He said, create in me. What? This psalm came from King David's adulterous affair. He sent his man to battle. He sent his men to war. He stood behind, and from his balcony, he saw Bathsheba. And he coveted after her. This guy had wives and concubines. He didn't need another. And he did the most hideous transgression. He took that general of his. It was his general. That was his only wife. And he took her for himself. And then he put that general on the front line to be killed that day. And God wasn't pleased with that. And so God withdrew His presence. This is why He wrote this. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And then he went on to say this. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. And sinners shall be converted to you. He had to be restored to get back to that place so that he can lead others to God. And that's what God did for me. He restored back the joy of my salvation. He said, I've called you, and nothing's going to thwart the plan of God for your life. And I continued from that moment on. I'm here today because of him. And I love him. I love him with my whole heart, soul, and mind. I love my precious, beautiful wife. But God still comes first. Yes. Then her. And then my children, my grandchildren, you. But God has to be number one. And so you and I, we must be what? Willing. We must be willing to encourage others. How many of you can honestly say you are an encourager? Yeah. Encourager. Praise God. We're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close. And one of the things that I love is what King David wrote. I found a lot of scriptures with King David. Why? Because he had an insight. He had such a huge relationship with God that God would inspire him to write the many songs for you and I today. But I want to go to Psalm. It's a very familiar scripture, and then we'll close. Look at this. It's right up here. The Lord, say that with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me behind what? Besides the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for who? For his sake. Not for ours, for his sake. Look at this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How many believe he's with you? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Guess what? Some of us still have enemies that we're not even aware of. But he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So as this message has gone out to YouTube and Facebook and to all those who log in, and for us here, I believe we're in a time, as I mentioned earlier, where we need to cry out for the nation. Can I get amen? And here is the key for you and I. If we want God's favor, if we want God's blessing, if we want to see people still prospering in this nation, if we don't want to see war on our own land, which hasn't happened since the Japanese war, when Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, if we want God's blessings on this land before he comes and gets us, then we must take heed of what he told the children of Israel thousands of years pertains to you and I. Can I get an amen? We must pray what? For revival now. Come on, it's time. And here it is. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will what? Hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That is the recipe. That is God's way. If we want to see changes in this world, this is what it takes. And I will hear their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. Amen. Saints of God, Jesus is coming. How many believe he's coming? Amen. Listen, listen, listen. I've always taught this. And one of the reasons why we're still here, the rapture hasn't taken place, I am convinced it's going to happen on the Feast of Trumpets. We don't know what year. Could it be this Feast of Trumpets? I don't know. But it's a two-day feast. No one knows the day or the hour. And it could happen. Brother, is the audio on my laptop on? I want to show you this for some of you that maybe have not seen this. We have to be ready. How many believe we need to be ready? Oh, yeah. Huh? Listen, and this is not a political slogan. It's about getting right or getting left. What does that mean? It's not about Republican, Democrat. No. It's about being right with God or being left behind. And how many don't want to be left behind? Huh? And so the Feast of Trumpets is taking place. By the way, September 17th, which is in a couple of weeks from now, we always go to Maranatha Chapel. They're going to have the big spread again. You could go and blow the shofar. They're having it that day. And guess what? It's the last day of the feast. What? If we're gone in that first day, they can eat all the hummus they want. We'll be gone. We'll be gone. How many believe we'll be gone? And Paul wrote this. See, the reason why I have confidence of sharing these scriptures and the video I'm going to show is because it hasn't happened yet. It's still in the near future. How many of you have met the Lord in the air yet? Some of us can't even jump 3 inches off the ground. Come on, let alone flying up in the air to meet him. Look at this. He wrote to the Thessalonian church, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Asleep in the Greek is people that have already died in their grave. Lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Praise God. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Well, look at this. Shall be what? Precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will be what? He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Meaning those who are in the grave, he's going to call them out of their grave. Remember when he called Lazarus? Lazarus, get up. He's going to call each and every one of them by their name. And they're all going to get out of their grave, and they're going to meet him in the air. But here's the good news for us. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, comfort. Comfort one another. So let me ask this question. Has this happened yet? So it's a future prophetic time that's coming. And guess what? We're not going up in the air. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Even Michael Jordan, who can leap about 5 feet in the air, won't meet him in the air unless he's saved. Look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all what? But we shall be all what? In a moment, in the what? Twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We live in this corruptible body, but we're going to have a new body that's incorruptible. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on what? Immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. How many can't wait for that moment? Okay. So never let this happen to you.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or he might come next week. Or he could even come...
Thank you. That's always going to be the million-dollar question, isn't it? Isn't it? It's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? And so, for those of you that are on Facebook and YouTube, those of us who maybe never given your heart to Christ, this is your opportunity. This is your opportunity to open up your heart and ask God to come in. Ask God to save you. I don't want to be left behind. How many of you want to be left behind? I don't. I want to know that my sins have been forgiven. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, and I'm heaven bound, and there's now a hell to shun. Because there's literally a real hell. The Bible says that there's people that drop in it every day. But God saved us from that wrath. Are you ready? Are you ready to receive the Lord? If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. From this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Thank you.